free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Kerner speaking to you on the 29th of March. Music wasn't queued up. Computer problems. What's the point? A messy situation with our country continuing from the past to the present. Terri Schiavo and her situation, and certainly no one would expect her to live as long as she did or has. And just tragedies all over the place. And everybody certainly agrees on this one. What can I say, listeners? It's a sad time. Most people have no clue of the mess. They're just concerned about the high price of gasoline, which is by design. Doesn't have to be. But I'm really in a messy situation with the information tonight. Sam and Trish had another water meeting, and I don't have any of that information, but it's on their website, which is one of our partner websites on AmericanExpose.com, and you should listen to that meeting. It is the Information Corner, and I recommend you go there and listen to that. Very important to do so. I'm just at a crossroads regarding a lot of situations, listeners. The American people are stupid. The American people have been dumbed down. They don't have a clue about what's really going on. And this is the worst part about it all at this point in time. There's going to be a meeting, a get-together, supposedly, in commemoration of the 10-year anniversary of April 19th, 1995. You remember what April 19th, 1995 was all about. And most of you realize that this was a setup as well. And according to Chris Emery, who's been a guest on my broadcast before, and this is going to be shut down more than likely. Representative Dana Rohrabacher's efforts to hold a congressional hearing on the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, Chairman, which is the OKBIC Chairman Charles Key, received this information, who discovered it on their local source. The key point here is that he is the chairman of the House International Relations Committee, the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. I know this is going to go nowhere, but I thought you should hear it. And referring to a recent statement on Bill Maher's politically incorrect TV show by Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware, only the Congressional Committee chairman have the authority to call a hearing on subject related to their committee. Hence, U.S. Representative Rohrabacher has full authority to do so. This is the congressional equivalent of giving the orders to turn the QE2 cruise liner about face. That's the Queen Elizabeth II. The legal and political fallout would be catastrophic. And once again, I'm quoting from, I believe, Chris Emery, right? Evidently, several dozen counts of perjury, witness intimidation, destruction, and withholding of relevant evidence before, during, and after the pretrial discovery process regarding the Oklahoma City trial, Chris Emery honestly thinks there is something more sinister going on versus a grassroots effort by a subcommittee chairman asking the U.S. government to come clean with this case. And this is just ludicrous. Liken it to being sprayed by a skunk. One recognizes the scent, knowing better to steer clear of it the second time around. Is this yet another case of political mudslinging? That's the question being asked. What dirty laundry does the USJD have on Representative Rohrabacher? And I'm not even sure what the U.S. Justice Department has on Rohrabacher, but they can certainly deal with people, as they've shown to do so in the past. According to Chris Emery, another way to look at this, clear the table and lay out the facts of the Oklahoma City bombing and ask yourself who would stand to lose the most. In other words, going to prison for a very, very long time. Look no further than the repugnant list of what has now been coined the Oklahoma City, the OKC Dirty 30. Have you ever heard of the OKC Dirty 30? I ask you. And you'll see Mr. Keating's and Mr. Istook's names on the top of that list. They flip out, spit on the Oklahoma State and the U.S. Constitution when they choose to impede and ignore the due process of law in this case. Furthermore, they're treated like rock stars every time they return to Oklahoma City. And Chris anticipates we'll see much of the same when they show their faces again on the 10-year anniversary this coming April 19th. Ironically, U.S. Representative Istook's reelection office is located on Broadway Avenue, just two blocks from the Oklahoma City bombing memorial site. And he asked, guess who will be paying his reelection staff a visit on April 19th. There is a group of us, meaning Chris Emery and company, in ever-increasing numbers that want each of the OKC Dirty 30 to be sent to prison as a consequence of their actions before and after the Oklahoma City bombing. And my point is, if any of this ever happens, if the truth is brought out about the Oklahoma City bombing, what's going to keep all the other truths from coming out that have been so well publicized? Meaning the sinking of the Lusitania to get us into World War I, the sinking of the Maine to get us into the Spanish-American War, the first global excursion by this government, this country, 1898, I believe. Once Oklahoma City bombing is exposed, everything gets undone. Because September 11, 2001 is another setup scenario. And how long is it going to be where I can't talk about this anymore? Where I'll be considered a terrorist for speaking out against the government? How far away are we from that? And that should be everyone's concern. Because if I'm silenced, everyone will be silenced. And this is the point. Now, we see here, this was posted March 21st and updated on March 22nd. California lawmaker considers new Oklahoma City bombing probe. Keating says proposed forum would look rather silly. Amazing. I'll be back with that. Have U.S. Representative Dana Rohrabacher is considering holding a hearing on the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, according to Oklahoma political leaders contacted by the California Republican. Rohrabacher reportedly wants to look into allegations that others besides Timothy McVeigh, who has been executed for the terrorist attack, and Terry Nichols, who is serving a life sentence for it, were involved, and whether federal officials participated in a cover-up, the Tulsa World reported Tuesday. Rohrabacher did not immediately return calls placed to his Washington office Tuesday. He has discussed his plan with former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating, U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, and U.S. Representative Ernest Istook, Republican of Oklahoma. Both Keating and Istook have discouraged such hearings. Inhofe did not immediately return calls. Rohrabacher is chairman of the House International Relations Committee on Oversight and Investigations. Apparently, Rohrabacher became interested in the Oklahoma City bombing after hearing about former Oklahoma City television reporter Jana Davis's book on the attack. For years, Davis have insisted that Middle Eastern men, including Iraqis, were involved in the bombing. The bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building on April 19, 1995, killed 168 people. Keating was governor. Said Monday he recently met with Rohrabacher at the congressman's request. Quote, the impression after my conversation was that he intended to have some forum, whether it was just asking for information or a formal hearing, end quote, Keating said. He sounded especially troubled by one theory. Rohrabacher suggested that McVeigh and Nichols were trained to make explosives by the FBI, then somehow got away from their handlers and carried out the plot to bomb the federal building in Oklahoma City. The theory goes on to include a cover-up by the FBI to hide its involvement. Keating, a former FBI agent, U.S. attorney, and top-ranking official at the U.S. Department of Justice, said he warned Rohrabacher that his panel could come off looking rather silly if he bases its hearings on such a theory. Quote, I told him, with due respect, I don't think you would look, you would know how agents work. He said these agents had friends who were killed, he said, referring to the federal government's agents and employees who died in the attack. It makes absolutely no sense, he states. Keating said state and local law enforcement officials would never have gone along with such a cover-up. Well, there's some people like Terry Yakey who died very mysteriously. There were bombs in the building that were dismantled right in front of our eyes when it first happened. According to William Cooper, they had military spec numbers on those explosives. According to General Ben Parton, and certainly you know all this, I'm rehashing old information, the columns had to have been wrapped to have been sheared the way they were. And that's the situation. Sad commentary to have on what's going on. Oklahoma City bombing will never be dealt into, because so much will be uncovered if we uncovered this one, because we live a life of scenarios and set up situations. Have some unusual weather here tonight, and the animals are restless. Boy. I'm torn by directions, and certainly Darren had a very good broadcast last night, I'm sure. And certainly you're encouraged to phone Governor Jeb Bush. The information's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. The total information about the whole picture's on SweetLiberty.org. And you can visit Terry.SweetLiberty.org. It's all there. It's all documented and directed. And the phone numbers are certainly available on my website. 850-448-7146. That's the Governor Jeb Bush. You know, the Bush family has a history of collusion dating back to World War I. And in the 1930s, the Bush family helped build Adolf Hitler. But the real evil of that time was Britain and America and the Soviet Union, who wanted to communize the world. Adolf Hitler, with Japan, signed a pact to fight international Comintern, the international communism. I've covered this more and more in the past to make a point. We don't know what the history is. We really don't know what true history is. They did do invading. They did cover invasion of countries. They did take over countries. So they were part of the picture. But they weren't the total picture. Right now, we see scenarios being set off by our country, by our government, that we have no control over whatsoever. Our elections have no control over whatsoever. And that's been the way it's been for our lifetimes. Most of you realize this, that's the point. So, as a result of this latest earthquake, yes, we had a latest earthquake, and certainly an 8.7 magnitude earthquake. What could have set that off, listeners? What could have set that off? So we see Asian nations must choose sustainable growth. Asian nations must choose sustainable growth. Excellent research by Dennis in Missouri. Asia-Pacific economies may be expanding fast, but growth will not be sustainable for much longer unless the region pays more attention to the environment, the United Nations said Monday. The environment is everything, listeners. Including Chapter 6 of Agenda 21. Asia-Pacific Environment Ministers heard the wake-up call at a two-day meeting on the environment organized by the UN Economic and Social Commission for Asia and Pacific, ESCAP, E-S-C-A-P. That's the Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific. Kofi Annan, what a piece of work. Quote, the prevailing model, growth first and clean up later, is not the answer, end quote, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said in a videotaped message to the opening of the conference. The region, which accounts for 40% of the world's territory, but is home to 61% of the population, has struggled to grow fast in the face of rampant poverty. Almost two-thirds of the world's poor, who live in less than a single U.S. dollar a day, reside in Asia and the Pacific, UN statistics show. Oh, isn't that interesting? So, Asia has to succumb to smart growth and sustainable development. How can this be? How can this be, listeners? And there is the point in the problem. The UN system, a major mess in place. And I have something from Phyllis Schlafly. She's a member for the Council for National Policy, which is a questionable organization for certain. It comes from News with Views, but it's well done. And she says, who would have thought in 1992 that weird notions emerging from a distant United Nations summit on the environment would soon surface on official Riverside County policies? Riverside County is where, in Southern California, some place that I've spent a lot of time in, Riverside County, Loma Linda. Spent a lot of time in Loma Linda. But this is something that needs to be heard, because what they're proposing in Asia and the rest of the world, they're proposing and implementing in Riverside County. So Phyllis Schlafly goes on to state, held in Rio de Janeiro and attended by 110 heads of state, the United Nations on conference and the environment, also called the Rio Earth Summit, provided five revolutionary interlinked documents: the Treaty on Climate Change, the Convention on Forest Principles, the Rio Declaration, the Treaty on Biodiversity and Agenda 21, an 800-page blueprint for international action on development and environmental protection. It called for all levels of government worldwide to implement sustainable development. Sustainable development, according to a 1996 report by enthusiast Donald A. Brown of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Office of International Activities, is, quote, a way of thinking about the future that integrates economic, environmental, and social goals, end quote. Others see it differently, a socialistic scheme using environmental threats to redistribute the wealth of American taxpayers inside and outside the U.S. Anti-poverty rights, a system that permeates all facets of life and results in tyranny. Although the Sustainable Development Agenda was first introduced in 1972 at a U.N. environmental conference in Stockholm, Sweden, the concept got little attention until 1987, when it became the subject of a 1987 UN report calling for a worldwide political transformation built on sustainable development policies. Even then, it took the Rio Earth Summit and the election of Bill Clinton to begin the U.S. conversion. 6 months after taking office, Clinton created the 25-member President's Council on Sustainable Development by executive order. Top heavy with leftists from government and environmental sectors, the council also included a few appointees from the business world, such as Enron chairman and CEO Ken Lay, now awaiting trial for conspiracy and fraud. By 1996, the council and supplemental task forces had made sweeping recommendations for implementing the UN model for a sustainable America. Their how-to manuals for transforming the country covered virtually all areas of American life, including agriculture, the economy, health issues, people, health issues. Research Chapter 6 of Agenda 21. And then you'll probably see why Terry Schiavo is being used as an example right now. Also, population stabilization, which connects to that as well. Education, housing, transportation, and community development, all of which incorporated biodiversity strategies. Biodiversity is described as the sum of all the different species of animals, plants, fungi, and microbial organisms living on Earth and the variety of habitats in which they live. Because scientists estimate that upwards of 10 million, some suggest more than 100 million different species inhabit the Earth, biodiversity considerations can be anything the planners want it to include. One of the most disturbing sustainability documents originated at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. Community Sustainability, Agendas for Choice Making in Action. A draft guide for developing sustainable communities in the U.S. and internationally. The sustainability roadmap was prepared for yet another UN environmental summit, the 1996 Urban Ecological Habitat 2 at Istanbul, Turkey. And I remember Joan Vion having attended that. The radical 26-page guide called for a blending together of workplace, housing, and nature, where Americans would live in highly concentrated, heavily controlled urban clusters. In other words, human settlements. They would rely on transit, walking, and bikes for transportation, and support marketplaces incorporating consumer collectives, eco-buying cooperatives, and workers' collaboratives in a climate of eco-justice. Meanwhile, the sustainable development doctrine dominated the Clinton administration's agenda, flowing unhindered through legislative and regulatory arteries to infect policies at every level of government. Federal mandates and a multitude of incentive programs, such as public-private partnerships, in housing, transportation, education, banking, commerce, foreign policy, and even trade. Medicized sustainable development throughout the country. Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center, estimated in 1997 that sustainable development had invaded the planning policies of all cities with populations over 50,000. Yet few Americans had ever heard the term, even fewer knew what it meant. Today, however, talk of sustainable development and its equivalent terms is common, though many people still fail to understand the significance. Smart growth, the new urbanism, livable communities, livable regions are simply catchy synonyms for sustainable development policies, while words like visioning, stakeholders, habitat protection, and collaborative approaches are used in the implementation process. One could just read the fancy brochures and press reports describing the county of Riverside's new $35 million general plan, the RCIP, which is intended to control housing, roads, and wildlife preserves for the next 50 years. They're full of references to smart growth and new urbanism strategies. And just as Donald A. Brown described, they exhibit, quote, a way of thinking about the future that integrates economic, environmental, and social goals, end quote. The concept of sustainable development, its United Nations origins and linkage with biodiversity strategies, as well as its invasion of government policies, especially community development. A general plan is a blueprint for growth and development over the long term. It acts as a constitution for both public and private development, the foundation upon which leaders make growth and land use related decisions. But the Riverside County Integrated Project, the RCIP, that's the Riverside County Integrated Project, the RCIP, isn't just any general plan. It's the product of 4 years, nearly $35 million, and for one county supervisor, 50 trips to Washington, D.C. and Sacramento. It locks up enough acreage to create another Orange County, but not for people. Instead, the RCIP favors 24 so-called endangered species and another 122 species that environmentalists might someday designate endangered. For humans, however, the preferred word is containment. High-density community centers, such as stacked housing and commercial buildings, with pedestrian walkways, bike paths, and public transit, and transportation facilities, they'll all be identified only after environmental needs have been addressed. The RCIP is classic sustainable development. A glossy RCIP brochure describes the plan as a, quote, a model for the nation, largest multi-species habitat conservation plan in the nation, a textbook example of smart growth, coordinated by a partnership between the federal government, the state government, the County of Riverside, the Riverside County Transportation Commission, and the Southern California Association of Governments, end quote. How regurgitatory is this? We're all in deep trouble. We all bleed for Terry Schiavo, but we're all in deep trouble. Ah. So sad.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
How would you like to add 20 years to your life? Dr. Earl Mandel, the world's number one leading authority on health and nutrition, has revealed one of the most powerful anti-aging foods ever discovered. It's a 2,000-year-old Himalayan health secret called the goji berry. Dr. Mandel says this is the biggest health breakthrough he has ever seen in 40 years. Backed by scientific research and checked under the microscope, they say the goji berry could very well be the most nutritionally dense food on Earth. So give your body a real treat. Try this most incredibly delicious, all-natural, 100% juice. Your kids will love it, and so won't your pets. It comes with an unconditional 90-day money-back guarantee. To learn more about the secrets of the goji berry, give us a call at 877-888-4777. That's 877-888-4777.
Back to the broadcast, and certainly we grieve for Terry Schiavo. I grieve for all those that are in a messy situation by the federal system, engineered in many directions, from many directions. And once again, as I cover this, the best secret in the world, Agenda 21, a glossy RCIP brochure describes the plan as, quote, a model for the nation, largest multi-species habitat conservation plan in the nation, a textbook example of smart growth, coordinated by a partnership between the federal government, the state government, the County of Riverside, the Riverside County Transportation Commission, and the Southern California Association of Governments, end quote. Significantly, federal, state, and regional governments are precisely where sustainable development policies are most firmly entrenched. Owing primarily to President Clinton's embrace of the concept of the UN Earth Summit in 1993, it is also where the money is, and RCIP backers are counting on lots of it to fund their project, including, they say, quote, creative use of state and federal grant and loan funds to confront the continuing financial reality of not having enough money to do everything that is desired, end quote. A July 2004 Orange County Register editorial strongly criticized the Southern California Association of Governments, the SCAG. That's the SCAG, the Southern California Association of Governments, for its 140-page study designed to create, quote, a sustainable future, end quote. The editorial warned, quote, the ideas in this study should concern Southern Californians, since their governments are committing themselves to a plan designed to change the way most people live, end quote. Referring to, quote, compact community development, end quote, a.k.a. community centers, a.k.a. urban clusters, a.k.a. human settlements. As an, quote, Eastern European-style planning regimen, end quote, the editorialist asserted, quote, the regional planning agency wants to engage in social engineering, pushing us to live in high-density condos near transit stations. This is the foundation of an authoritarian planning regimen known as the New Urbanism, in which planners try to recreate dense urban centers and discourage the suburbanization most of us prefer, end quote. The Register writer continued, quote, this is more of what many current city governments are pushing, stopping growth in open spaces, using zoning and taxpayer subsidies to reward developers of high-density projects, using eminent domain to take private property to make way for the infill developments, end quote. Though quoting directly from the SCAG study, the writer could have lifted identical language from the RCIP and its promotional information. In fact, in describing the SCAG study, the editorialist was also describing the RCIP. Typical of sustainable development policies, the RCIP transfers wealth, property, and power from private hands to the government bureaucrats. County supervisors called it historic when they voted to acquire 153,000 acres for habitat. But landowners, large and small, called the multi-species plan an unprecedented land grab. Even before the RCIP was approved, their properties were effectively devalued for the status made uncertain, while potential land buyers found themselves in competition with the county. Even land located within cities goes to habitat under the RCIP, Lake Elsinore losing over 10,000 acres. But Councilman Robert Schiffner pointed to another problem. The habitat plan doesn't define where the habitat will be. Quote, the only way to find out if you're a property owner is to try to pull a permit, end quote, he said in July 2003. A year later, County Deputy Planner Christy Lovelady created more uncertainty, advising potential property buyers to have the county review land for habitat potential before it's purchased. Quote, the game rules have completely changed, Lovelady said. Not only that, the game is different, end quote. No kidding. The county's message to affected property owners, don't count on anything except more bureaucracy. Potential habitat will now be reviewed by a panel of biologists, planners, mapping specialists, and others known as the Habitat Evaluation and Acquisition Negotiation Strategy, known as HANS, H-A-N-S. Habitat Evaluation and Acquisition Negotiation Strategy. Lovelady said the 14 cities in the county will set up similar panels. Tax money is the enabler. Besides setting up new bureaucracies, the RCIP puts taxpayers on the hook for potentially billions of dollars for, one, ongoing maintenance of the 500,000 acres of habitat, two, yet unknown acquisition costs of the acreage still to be purchased by the county, three, revenue replacement for the 500,000 acres removed from the tax rolls, and four, underwriting legal costs to defend the RCIP against many promised lawsuits. True, the RCIP calls for building fees to fund habitat maintenance costs, but development is cynical. (Clears throat) is cyclical, people. When the economy slackens, development slows or dries up. Then what? And though the county boasts of big subsidies, more taxes from federal and state government, two essentially bankrupt administrations, how dependable is that revenue stream? When it comes to government schemes, the taxpayer is always the funder of first and last resort. When Donald A. Brown of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in 1996 described, quote, a way of thinking about the future that integrates economic, environmental, and social goals, end quote, he was only talking about sustainable development. Riverside County is implementing it. Just months before the Riverside County Board of Supervisors approved the RCIP, the Press Enterprise welcomed the Center for Sustainable Suburban Development to UC Riverside. It's entirely fitting. Riverside County, development, United Nations style. And this is the way it is. So while we bleed and mourn for a publicized slow death of Terry Schiavo, we are confronted with our slow death with Agenda 21. The RCIP, once again, the Riverside County Integrated Project. The RCIP, the Riverside County Integrated Project, puts that in on your search engines, listeners. The Riverside County Integrated Project, the RCIP, see what you come up with as a perfect example of where the entire country is going. And that is just the way it is. I made a statement soon after the first tsunami as a result of the December 26, 2004 earthquake that this was to help cover up Kofi Annan and his oil for food scandal. Very interesting. Investigators probing the UN oil for food program said Tuesday that Secretary General Kofi Annan didn't interfere in the awarding of a contract to a company that employed his son, but criticized the UN chief for not properly investigating possible conflicts of interest. A defiant Annan said, "Hell no," when asked at a news conference if he would resign, noting the report's finding that he committed no wrongdoing. Well, the UN is complete with corruption. It is complete with corruption, and there's so much to this. It's all on the website AmericanExpose.com. As Darren and Dennis have put it all together, Darren has certainly been concentrating on the SweetLiberty.org website, the Terry Schiavo tragedy. It's a sad, sad commentary to have. Very sad. I'm just so put out with it all. But we're murdering people in the Middle East under the guise of democracy. The IMF has control of the oil wealth in Iraq. Our U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF. The alternate governor of the IMF is Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve. Talked about that often in the past. So, the bottom line is, what are we going to do next? What is the UN going to do next? It's a sad scenario, but according to the Associated Press dated March 20th, key proposals for changes in the UN in Secretary General Kofi Annan's report to world leaders. Under the heading of development, rich countries should establish a timetable to earmark 0.7% of gross national product for development assistance by 2015. In other words, take from us to give to the poor. In other words, continue to destroy the middle class in America, which is what made America strong to begin with, a middle class. When did the middle class start declining? 1913, December 23rd. The vote for the Federal Reserve. That's when the middle class started declining. Also, poor countries should adopt a program by 2006 to cut extreme poverty in half, ensure primary education for all children, and achieve other UN development goals by 2015. This isn't anything for changes in the UN. This is exactly what the UN's always been about. It has nothing to do with changes at all whatsoever. It is a set-up scenario and a set-up situation, and it's just total BS. Nations must look beyond 2012, expiration of the Kyoto Protocol on climate change to stabilize greenhouse gas emissions. In other words, take away all ability to produce in factories. Nations should approve a convention against terrorism by September 2006 based on a new definition as part of a broader strategy to prevent terrorism. Nations should swiftly adopt a global treaty against nuclear terrorism. Nations should quickly negotiate a treaty to halt the spread of the highly enriched uranium and plutonium needed to make nuclear weapons. And certainly, how is that going to be enforced? And what are the nuclear weapons going to be used for? The point is, there's more nuclear weapons on the face of this earth right now in the hands of Russia, China, the U.S. government, U.S. military, and rogue states, quote-unquote rogue states. But what I feel is every country should have nuclear weapons ready to fire on another country to keep other countries from firing on one another country. Every country should have nuclear weapons. Every country should be armed to the hilt in hopes that no country would attack another country. Does that make no sense to you? Well, it makes perfect sense to me. When you see this UN picture in place, when you see the World Trade Organization in place since 1947, the GATT, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, 1947, when you see all the key implementation projects of the UN system being brought about in the late 40s, and then you see Korea, where we lost 54,000 of our soldiers, 8,000 POWs never to return, shipped off to Communist China and the Soviet Union for whatever they could be utilized for. 8,000, listeners. Korea. Vietnam. I'm never going to let anyone forget this because we've all forgotten it because the press never covers it. The command and control structure in place is evil. The Congressional Medal of Honor proves it. The Congressional Medal of Honor proves the evilness of the system in place. The upside-down five-pointed star. Lucifer's symbol. Satan's symbol. The Congressional Medal of Honor. The highest medal for valor in military service. Can you believe it? I found it very difficult to believe when I first found out about that. So as they try to transform the United Nations under the guise of security, nations should approve a convention against terrorism by September 2006 based on a new definition, in part of broader strategies to prevent terrorism. Well, what is terrorism defined as? They want to control the Internet, the UN system. Wants to control the Internet, which is the last bastion of freedom to getting the truth out. And certainly it's been exploited by many, and that's a sad commentary to have, just the way it is. I'm so sad to hear and see all this that I see today. Nations should swiftly adopt a global treaty against nuclear terrorism. Well, this is nothing about transforming the UN system. Nations had quickly negotiated a treaty to halt the spread of highly enriched uranium and plutonium needed to make nuclear weapons. I just covered that. Non-nuclear weapons states should be given incentives to voluntarily forego development of enriched uranium or plutonium separation facilities along with fuel for their nuclear energy programs. What a joke. Under the guise of human rights, oh, this ought to be laughable, establish a UN Human Rights Council, possibly, as a standing UN body like the Security Council to replace the Commission on Human Rights, which has been criticized for lack of credibility. In other words, make the UN stronger. This is all total hogwash. It is all total entrapment is what is a good word for it. This is a UN entrapment. And our State Department will go totally along with it because what is it? It's ultimate communism. Communism, as the word is today in America, communitarianism, and the Anti-Communitarian League does it all and does it best in describing communitarianism that I can see. Under human rights, nations should accept the responsibility to protect and need for collective action in cases of genocide, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity. Establish a fund for countries seeking to establish or strengthen their democracy. And there's the word democracy, the code word for socialism. UN renewal, expand the Security Council to make it more representative of 21st century political or geopolitical realities. Streamline the UN Secretariat. What a piece of information from the Associated Press. Key proposals for changes to the UN. It's nothing but strengthening the UN. That's all it is. The UN has a dismal track record, but most people don't realize it. And that is the big problem. They have a dismal, dismal track record. And I'm so upset about this. UN Plan for Your Mental Health by Barrett Chose, 1999. Well done, information. Being implemented today. Donna Shalala, Department of Health and Human Services, back then said, quote, "We believe that mental health is just as important as physical health, maybe even more so," end quote. From the National Mental Health Services Knowledge Exchange Network, quote, "Mental health refers to how a person thinks, feels, and acts when faced with life's situations," end quote. Our Creative Diversity from UNESCO makes this statement, quote, "The challenge to humanity is to adopt new ways of thinking, new ways of acting, new ways of organizing itself in society, in short, new ways of living," end quote. Don't be deceived by nice-sounding labels such as human or healthy smart or healthy start, healthy people, healthy families, healthy communities, and healthy cities. These and other logical or local campaigns for public and mental health follow a global blueprint. They all fit into a worldwide system of health management and surveillance led by the World Health Organization, a UN special agency that equates faith with hate and truth with intolerance. The goal is conditioning the masses to willingly conform to new universal values, environmental guidelines, and global management systems. And that is why this Terry Schiavo situation has reached public prominence to the degree that it has, the way I see it. People that are disabled to certain degrees are useless eaters and need to be dealt with. Sad, sad commentary to have. Dr. David Satcher, U.S. Surgeon General and Assistant Secretary for Health, gave a progress report at the National Healthy People Consortium in November 1998. Quote, "We have a clear blueprint in place," end quote. He announced, quote, currently 47 states are actively involved in Healthy People 2000 and Healthy City and Healthy Community initiatives are being pursued throughout the country. Hundreds of national organizations have reviewed the year 2000 objectives and have adopted them as their own, end quote. Dr. Satcher then drew the connection between Healthy Start, Healthy People, Mental Health, and the World Health Organization. Quote, every child should be given the opportunity for a healthy start. No priority yet has generated as much interest and enthusiasm as the one on mental health, end quote. Quote, our efforts will be focused on maintaining a system of global health surveillance. End quote. Quote, Healthy People 2010 is the United States' contribution to the World Health Organization's call to the nations of the world to renew their commitment to health for all, end quote. There's more to this. But we're out of time, basically. And it's a sad commentary to have all this going on, listeners. Very sad. But I'm just at a loss. 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 After all these years of being so knowledgeable about the past, to bring it to where it is in 2005, and it's no... what I was thinking back in 1993 or so, what it would be like in 2003 and on, it's just like I envisioned it. Just like I envisioned it in 1993. Quiet, chaotic scenarios being drafted on us. Quiet, chaotic scenarios being drafted on us. That's what it is. Vladimir Putin, spy-turned-politician, on the website, AmericanExpose.com, out of BBC News listeners. Vladimir Putin is President Boris Yeltsin's chosen successor, and the Russian parliamentary election showed he was the people's favorite, too. Until his appointment in August, he was a little-known figure who had spent most of his career working for the Soviet Security Service, the KGB, including several years as a spy in Germany. That information is on the website, AmericanExpose.com, one of the newest editions by Dennis in Missouri. And I'll call it a night, listeners. I hope you have a good evening, and I hope you do your research, and I hope you pray for the Schindler family and Terry Schiavo.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the